Hey guys, welcome to the More Minority Show. My name is Joshua Luckett, and I'm your host. And I am joined once again by Kennedy Curley, the man, the myth, the legend. We
That's
have a this one is a fun episode. It's the serious one, but it's more fun. We're not talking about death or being released from incarceration or disappointing artists that we used to love, like
Fallen idols. Actually, we
Fallen
are talking about
Idols.
fallen
We are
idols.
talking about, dang it. We can't escape
Kind
it.
of. I mean, we still like them, so.
Yes, yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. So today, really the main thrust is going to be to talk about kind of this concept of like black capitalism and Dave Chappelle a little bit in particular, at least at the front end. But we do have to talk about Elon Musk and kind of the situation that kind of provoked this conversation. So last week, Dave Chappelle was as on tour, had a show in San Francisco. Shout out San Francisco. I just feel like that's just a really fun place. I don't know. I
I
just,
don't think I've ever been to San Francisco, but
yeah,
I give him a shout out. My cousin lives there.
I've
Oh,
been to
he also
Los
got
Angeles. So I'm assuming the weather's as good
engaged.
or pretty good,
Yeah,
huh?
my cousin got engaged. He's in
Let's
San
go,
Francisco,
baby.
so shout out
Let's
to
go.
my cousin Robert. Go
Shout
ahead,
out to Robert,
Robert. Yeah, my
baby.
cousin.
Let's
I don't
go.
know if he'll listen to this, but he'll see it
Tell
on the
him you gave a
story.
shout out, then he'll listen. But nah, so Dave Chappelle had a show and decided to bring out Elon Musk. Now, interesting timing with Elon Musk having just bought Twitter and really become a springboard of controversy because of his reasoning for buying Twitter and his handling of his purchase of Twitter. So his reasoning for buying it was to promote free speech, and by free speech he meant put fascists back on Twitter. Which that's got to be a whole podcast episode of the free speech thing. It's like it's just always interesting. It's like free speech for bigots, you know? And it's like where's the free? It's like where were the people like saying, "Hey, I hated that Joe Biden speech, but he has such the right to say stuff like that, and we need to make sure that his clips of it never get didn't people never get demonetized for posting his clips or like."
Or just like we were just talking about Brittany Griner of like, oh yeah, she has the, where are the people who are like, oh yeah, she just, I don't like that she took a knee in the, or she didn't go out in the locker room, but
But she has the right to
she
do
has the
it.
right to do
I
it.
don't know.
No,
I
it was
never
just
hear
like she
that she
hates
has the right
America.
to do it. Yeah, though she
Yeah,
has the
she
right to
hates
do it,
America.
never happens.
Or the people who like, even if she just hated America, where are the people who are like, oh yeah, she has, I hate that she hates America, but she has the right to hate America. There are no people who say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, here comes the knight in shining armor, Elon Musk, to make sure that people who have bigoted opinions are have the freedom to say it. And that was his biggest reason for buying Twitter, along with some other financial reasons, I'm sure. And he's kind of running into the ground. He had a significant amount of employees walk out because of the way he's managing that sphere of his job. Twitter has become, in many ways, unusable. You now have a lot more very ugly statements and people back on Twitter. And it has caused a lot of people who have used this space to get away from some of that. Like literally, that I use Twitter to get away from Facebook. You know, like, and so if Twitter now has a lot of the same like aspects of Facebook, where it's like misinformation and a lot of bad faith trolls who never get punished for saying really ugly and inappropriate things and things of that nature. So yeah, I mean, Twitter has really taken a dot nosedive. Elon Musk, he actually fired all those people. I'm sorry, they didn't just walk out.
I
He
think there
fired
were
all those
some people who
people.
walked out, and I think there were a lot of,
The
he
people who
also
were
just
fired,
fired.
yeah.
He's a little bit mad, but
So I if y'all fact check me on that, but I'm pretty sure they were term. It was a mixture of terminations and walkouts, but and also. Elon Musk has recently banned a significant. This is actually a pretty. We haven't even gotten to the show yet, but it's important to talk about these things of why Elon Musk has become so controversial. I don't know if you have been following this story, but he banned, permanently banned, a bunch of people, like pretty big time like journalists for like the New York Times, CNN,
oh, wow.
Who have historically been very critical of him, stating that the reason he's banning them is because they doxed him. And doxing just meaning like revealing your location to troll you or to maybe even insinuate that someone could now go do you harm, you know, or whatever. Remember when Kanye brought up Drake's address? Yeah. That okay. And
put it into rap terms.
Right. talk to me like I'm black. What is doxing? That was the blackest example I have. Remember on Friday when I'm just let me stop. But anyway, they didn't dox Elon Musk. I mean, they basically there was a Twitter account that like always followed like a few of his private jets or whatever, or the location of where they are or whatever, and that account was banned along with a bunch of other accounts that, based off the story they were trying to tell, linked that where his jets were or whatever. It's the equivalent of being like, of there being like kind of pictures coming out or like quick, like tabloid stories or TMZ stories or whatever of like, oh my gosh, we saw Drake with Sophie Knows Better at this really fancy restaurant, Italian restaurant in New York. That basically is the equivalent of knowing where Elon jets are, you know, like, and got pretty upset with all those journalists and all those social media pundits or whatever you like to call some of the other people that were banned, and banned them all to a lot of like frustration of just like, bro, like it's just not a coincidence that they're all your ops. All of them are people who've been written and been very critical of you, and they're all left leaning and also, the hypocrisy is just not missed on anyone when you came to this space to give people free speech.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you're a hardcore, when no one's revealing your address, which, by the way, you're a freaking billionaire. Everyone knows. Like, at least can find out, like, where you live. Like, right. Or at least where you are, you know? Like,
right.
And so, anyway, he's been a terrible human being. Well, he was at a show. Dave Chappelle brought him out. And he got, when I say he got, did you end up looking up the video?
No.
Okay, he got booed for a solid, like, it had to be like 15, 20 minutes, bro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, did not stop, was just raining in. And of course.
That's cool.
Yeah, fragile ego Elon came on Twitter after that and was like, it was actually like 90% cheers and 10% boos. I was like, you look petty. Are you serious? Like. You had to tweet that? Had to preempt what we were going to see, you know? Like, but anyways, he gets booed. And so we'll stop there, because then what happened after the boos is why we're going to get into Dave Chappelle and black capitalists and all that. But let's stop there. And I just want to ask you, Elon Musk, Twitter, Tesla, whatever comes to mind, what do you think about him, and why do you think the left has such an issue with him?
I don't know a ton about Elon Musk personally, other than I see like the headlines and things like that. I blocked him on Twitter. I told you about that. So I don't see what he says day to day, but I know that he I don't know, he just, like what you just said, I think his ego seems kind of fragile in like, I don't like seeing the whole kind of him buying Twitter to give people free speech. But really what that means is we're going to go ahead and, you know, like, haven't there been things where, you know, like the use of the N-word went up like a certain percentage
all aspects of bigotry. On Twitter, at least. As silly as this sounds, like, literally every metric that we could look at of like an aspect of bigotry manifested on Twitter like went up.
Right. And he's like the ultimate, like, we were just criticizing Lecrae on just being a neutralist, and he's like a I claim neutrality, but really everything that he does always points to the right. You know, so like getting I think did he get Trump back on Twitter?
He didn't because Trump refused.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he tried. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's I don't know. That's a whole other thing itself. But, like, just stuff like that where it's, like, you know, that, his relationship with Kanye, it's...
That didn't age well.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, all this, it definitely shows, like, I don't know. When people say they're neutral, like, they're moderate or something like that, I normally just assume
they always lean right.
And so that's Elon to me. He's ego...
Or they're hindered by the right.
Yeah.
Like, they either lean right, or what's stopping them from pushing into things more is some aspects of the right that they need to, like, continue to cling to. And I'm just like, or you could just think for yourself and don't. It's always amazing to me how the people who say they don't fit into boxes, it's like, bro, neither do I. I'm a leftist, which means that I'm more left than the Democratic Party. So I don't fit in there. Yeah. But if you ask me what I am...
I'm a leftist.
Yeah, I'm a Democrat, and I'm a leftist. I have a category,
right.
And I still vote for a particular party, and I'm very unapologetic about that, and I think one promotes human flourishing more.
Well, and that's the thing I see from Elon Musk a lot of the time, is he'll make the right and the left very equivalent when you have things like, you know, oh, the left is extreme because they want Medicare for all. Or, you know, they want...
Meanwhile, the right, you know, wants to deny civil rights. College debt to
be eradicated. Yeah. Whereas, like, on the right, it's like, oh, yeah, we want to, you know, like, ban trans people from fighting in the military, or, you know, like, stuff like that.
It's equally egregious, correct?
Right, yeah. So it's, he's one of those types of people who... That's what I think of Elon when he comes to mind.
Yeah, and of course, like... The big issue with Elon is, you know, a lot of people say, you know, we that the left, like, we, you know, we demonize wealth, and that's not what's happening. It's more so what we're saying is there are inordinate amounts of wealth that one can accumulate that gives them an unreasonable amount of power in a society that we're saying is equal under the law. You know, a meritocracy and a democracy. And when you're a billionaire, you have the ability to do things where you can pretty blatantly supersede other people's autonomy and civil rights because of the nature of the amount of power and money that you have being a billionaire. Like, you can drastically impact elections. With all kinds of forms of lobbying.
You either have to be a billionaire yourself or sponsored by billionaires to win an election. Most of the time.
Yeah.
AOC is like the one example that...
Yeah. You have now a movement of social democrats who are like, we want only, you know, small donation donors in order to keep them from being corrupt. Because now I have to answer to all the, you know, working class small donors that funded my campaign instead of having to acquiesce to, you know, billionaire donors, which was brilliant. And I think his best argument for why you should vote for him. I literally, whenever people were asking me in 2016 and in 2020 why I vote for Bernie and why they should vote for Bernie, I was like, look, you know, I don't think there's like a Christian vote here or anything. So, like, you know, deal with your conscience, figure it out. But, like, but you have a guy who's literally funded by us, by people like us, by, you know, and limits the amount that he can get on donations so that he can be funded pretty exclusively, even if he's funded by someone very wealthy, only a small contribution. And it just makes him accountable to us instead of accountable to the, you know, to the wealthy elites. But anyway, like, that's really the argument that you now see playing out for Elon is like, bro, like, you have way too much money, and then you decided to buy Twitter, ruin an app that was so great for so many people, and in the meantime, kind of, like, affirm all of the right-leaning things we thought about you. Where it's like, why is it that all of your best friends have one strand of ideology, and you kind of were here to like liberate all of them from Twitter jail, you know? Like, you know, why is it that like you clearly like are not a good boss and a good employer, and that's kind of a critique people have had of you for a while, you know? And like, it's like you're kind of revealing all the reasons we thought it was problematic for someone to be a billionaire. And of course, the other obvious reason is in a lifetime, you cannot make $1 billion without screwing over a lot of people. Like, you have to underpay, you know, have underregulated spaces, like, manipulate a lot of, you know, financial situations. Like, there's a way that you can amass that much money in a lifetime, you know? Like, look, man, I bust my behind. I will never come close. If I get like three or four lucky breaks, I will never come close to being a billionaire, a half a billionaire, you know? And so, like, it's just an egregious amount of wealth. And so, yeah, and now we're seeing a lot of the reasons why people are frustrated with people like billionaires, because of the amount of power they have over everyday Americans without merit. And then on top of that, the normal, if even if unsaid, like pretty right-leaning tendencies of uber wealthy people who are of course going to vote in their own interests of like, yeah, big tax cuts for me, less regulations for my company, you know, all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, it's
So, I
not much commentary because Elon
whatever.
Musk sucks, you know. There's not much to say. Like, and he's also just branded very like with a lot of pomp and circumstance, but like, I don't know, I just find him remarkably unimpressive, mildly intelligent, decently articulate, not overly brilliant, like this, like, oh my gosh, look, he made Tesla. And also, like, gosh, I did not want to make this an Elon rant, Musk rant, but like, bro, like, Tesla was definitely funded by the government, and like, so the hypocrisy of like fighting for limited government as literally your pet project that brought you into fame was something that the government was like, oh yeah, we want to invest in that. We feel like that may be a great, you know, product for the masses, and so we're gonna help fund that. They similarly, like they did with the internet and things like that. And so it's like, and it's like, bro, like, you're not the genius behind Tesla or any of the other things that are attributed to your name. You had people who went to school, learned very intricate crafts, and designed amazing things that you branded and were a part of, maybe some of the visionary of it, I guess. But like, he's just very pretentious to me, and I think
No,
that's kind of where I'm at with
I
him.
agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree. What did Dave Chappelle,
Oh shoot.
you because you I, we talked about, I didn't see the video, but he basically defended Elon on stage. Is that right?
Yeah, here we go. So basically, Dave Chappelle like had I th there's three things that come to mind, and he said a bunch because he kind of had to like ward off the boos for quite some time. But like, basically, he started with like, oh, notice Elon, all the boos are coming from like the cheap upper seats level, and I'm like, just to pause right there, like,
Dang, that's terrible.
it's so ugly, bro. Pete, you're an icon at this point, if you're Dave Chappelle, you know, at the very least, a Western
What an
icon,
arrogant thing. Like,
you know. And it's like,
oh, those
people
boos are coming
saved,
from poor people.
yeah, people saved up money, you jerk, to go to this tour, and they didn't come here for Elon Musk, you know. And so it's like, bro. And then on top of that, like, you're gonna just shit on your fans, like, to defend this guy. Like, these people really came here for you and love you, and yeah, they could love you and hate Elon, but that's actually really possible, my man. Like, and like, for you to like poke at their financial status because they're being critical of someone that has actually been pretty controversial in the public space for quite some time, And then, then he goes on. I think the other statement was, oh, this must have been all the people you fired, which was once again just incredibly ugly. And there was another one, dang it. Elon,
Why
y'all
is
are
it?
mad at him, but Elon bought me like something last year or whatever. Like, and then there's another one, it'll come to me later. That was another like aim at the crowd, but dude, it was just really bad. Like, it was like he basically, like, it's kind of one of those moments where you can kind of play it off at like, hey, let's do a couple quick jokes. Oh man, y'all didn't like him. That's crazy. All right, here we go. Let's get back into it. Whatever. You could play that off, but like to like then like attack the crowd. I just thought it was kind of classless and speaks to something we're gonna speak about here for a little bit after, but I want to hear your thoughts on even just those couple statements,
Yeah, well, that just all of those things are terrible. First off, I don't know. I one of the things I was thinking of, I didn't probably want to say it, but I was thinking it was when you asked about, oh, what are your thoughts on Elon? I do remember seeing him like fire some, I don't know if it was real or not, but he fired someone like on camera basically, and it was kind of like a joke, like he was smiling and laughing about it or whatever. I'm like, whether that's real or not, we know you did fire people, and it's really just not that funny.
That's not funny. It's not funny to terminate people's like living.
Yeah, and so I don't think that coming from Dave Chappelle, like, oh, these are the people you fire, like, I don't know, I just don't think that's like that's just not funny.
That's really
People are
ugly.
losing their livelihoods, because a guy with a big,
Ego.
ego and personality, and he has a lot of fame, just decided he wanted to fire a handful of people for whatever reasons. I don't know. That's ugly. People sitting in the top, like what if it was, I don't know. People sitting in the top section of your crowd. I don't know. Like, that's, who cares? They're booing because they don't like Elon. It doesn't matter if they're poor. I don't know. So I just,
And why bring him out?
well, yeah, and that's the other thing.
What
I'm
is the
like,
reasoning
what?
for bringing him
Yeah,
out?
like, what did he add to your show? Was he? Is he?
Clearly controversy. I
Yeah,
mean,
apparently, like, yeah,
but
I don't know. It's just.
it's almost like to be as funny as Dave Chappelle is, because he is funny, and I could rain on him with critiques for hours. I think his trans stuff has been absolutely deplorable and disgusting. And I think it has ruined his legacy. And I think, barring his own repentance when he dies, it will never escape him. It is a disgusting and despicable thing how he talks about and jokes about trans people. And I'm using very aggressive language because it's very serious and it's not okay and it's not funny. And it does lead to people being hurt. And it leads to bad legislation, and it leads to worse lives for people in the queer community. Not funny. I don't think it's cute. I don't play that. But like, he is funny, and like, he has been funny his entire career. And to be funny, you have to be pretty smart. And his level of funny, you have to actually be brilliant. And so I do think he is.
So you knew what he was doing.
Yes. Like, bro, like, you had to know the controversy behind Elon Musk
It's like when Kanye wore
in
the White
San
Lives Matter.
Francisco. But yeah, like the White Lives Matter thing with Kanye, like, you
Well, you
knew
knew
what
what
you
he
were
was doing.
doing.
Come on, like, yeah. No, I don't know. I think that, but I think the, yeah, the one of like, oh, those boos, notice how they're coming from the top of the crowd. That to me is kind of like the perfect summary of what people who are billionaires or people with that type of status think about us.
Damn, yes.
That's what they think about us. Oh, it's
Yes.
just coming from them.
Yeah, they don't matter.
Yeah, like, oh,
Yeah.
it's just it's like, when
You're rich, they don't matter. You
it's like
know?
a like I'm trying to think of like a it's like a like you know how when people protest, it's just like, oh yeah, just wait a few days, it'll go by. That's kind of like that's the that of,
Yeah.
of the crowd, like, oh yeah, they're just those
Just a
people,
condescending,
which is,
yeah.
yeah, that's funny coming from Dave Chappelle, but anyway, go ahead.
Yes, and the reason why is because for
Because
so
he's
long.
black.
Kidding, how's it about this? He aligned with the common man. You know, I was gonna say so many things, and then he's black.
I'm just saying, like, you know, the walk of life you come from, like, you should not be looking down on when you were when you've been looked down on,
bro,
like, that's what I'm
life,
trying
bro.
To say, like,
your whole life. And guess what, Dave Chappelle, while you're licking boots, my brother, you still get looked down on. You still get looked down on. I have a JC song for you, if you would like to hear it.
Yes.
Story of OJ, my brother. You still get looked down on. But, like, yeah, it's like, it's amazing because for so long in his career, he kind of identified with the common man. Kind of a similar trajectory to Kanye. Whereas, like, but even more so with Dave Chappelle, like, a lot of his stand-up, and especially the stand-up that made him most popular at his, like, peak of his career, was the anti-racism stuff. Like, it was the, okay, wait, no, someone killed it on Twitter. Someone said the reason Dave Chappelle brought out Elon Musk instead of Candace Owens is because Candace Owens is upstaging his Bigsby performances from back in the day. You know, the black white supremacist performance. I can't remember the character's exact name. I gotta look it up. But I think it was something Bigsby. I can't remember. But anyway, like, yeah, it was amazing. But no, like, he had so much great anti-racism content for so long. And to do it well, like, for humor to land as well as it did, it's like you have an intimate knowledge of the issues. And I've never, like, seen Dave Chappelle as, like, a savant politically. I think he's brilliant in other areas, but politically, I think he's always been very surface, classic, you know, kind of neoliberal. But man used to, like, really come hard with the anti-racism stuff, and it was funny, and, like, the white voice and, like, so many things that are, like, so, like, synonymous with, like, Dave Chappelle and his humor and his persona and his, you know, charisma. And so while this may seem like a surprising shift, I don't think it is, and I don't think it is for two reasons. One that we're going to stick on for a while, and one that I'm just going to bring up just pretty swiftly. And it's just, being anti-racist is a part of the journey. It's not the completion of the journey. You need intersectionality. There's a lot of people who are anti-racist when it comes to critiquing white supremacy that aren't anti-racist when it comes to critiquing black supremacy or, you know, or when it comes to defending other marginalized groups. And one of the tropes that I've seen, maybe we could talk about this for a second before we talk about black capitalism, but one of the tropes that I've seen with Dave Chappelle is this, like, envy of other groups' success, other minority groups' success. All of a sudden, gay people's progress is not like, oh, heck yeah, like, some other people on the team of oppression who are, like, getting more liberation. All of a sudden, it's like, why do they keep getting victories and, like, black people don't get that many victories anymore?
Oh, yeah. I see
you
stuff
see
like
that?
That. I see
yeah.
Not, I hear it with Dave Chappelle, but I see it, like, with, you know, like, the whole, I hate to reference him again because we already talked about him in two episodes, but Kanye, when he said his anti-Semitic stuff and lost all his sponsorships, everyone's kind of, you know, I see, like, people who are like, oh yeah, you know, well, he didn't get canceled when he was saying, you know, things against black people. And it's like, can we just, like, acknowledge that, like, what he said was anti-Semitic and just kind of, like, be happy with the fact that, you know, he's getting, what do you call it? Just accountability. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I don't know. Is that
kind of... And also, there was a level of, like ambiguity and lack of coherence with his racist statements against black people. Like, none of us knew what to do with someone wearing a MAGA hat. But, like, as a society. There's subgroups that are, like, pretty blatantly, like, look, that's equivalent to, like, a Nazi flag or, like, a KKK sued or whatever. But like as a nation, we weren't just like Trump is equivalent to Hitler. So wearing a MAGA hat, saying slavery's a choice, talking about abolishing the 13th Amendment, things like that is like a lot of that has a lot of ambiguity that like you need to be pretty educated to get where some things are problematic. Slavery's a choice is just pretty bad ostensibly, right? But like with the I Love Hitler thing, come on, bro, that was like categorically different. And it's like that like a lot of black people were being kind of silly in my opinion of like, bro, he said the ultimate wicked thing of like he loved Nazis and Hitler. Like he's done. And even before he said that, like when you're being very blatantly anti-Semitic, like if he was out there saying Mexicans are like intrinsically, inherently, genetically inferior, he would have also gotten canceled.
Right. And I just don't like, sometimes I just don't like when, something is specifically about, it's racist against some group, and then someone has to make it about
Yeah.
black people or
Childish.
like my people, something like that,
Yeah.
where it's like, no, I don't know if the whole there was a when shoot there was the trend going on for a while of like an Asian hate or whatever, which I hate to call it a trend, but that's about Asian people. Shoot, like we don't need to make that about black
Yeah,
people or
it
about
would,
anybody
yeah,
else.
what
Like
was
it's
happening
just
to
about.
them was grossly. And the only thing that's appropriate in that moment is to make a parallel to show how egregious it is and the other effects it's had on other people groups in history and in modern times,
Right.
right?
And so I only say all of that because to kind of what you were saying of like, you can be anti-racist when it comes to black racism, but then completely ignore or even twist things in your benefit when it's racist against other people.
And clearly that's a big issue with Dave Chappelle and a lot of people is just like this like very swift like don't pick on black people and like pretty accurate analysis for why and then just this like incoherent pivot of like all the same thing like a lot of times when Dave Chappelle would go on his like terrible joke rants about trans people, I'd be like, bro, if I flipped a lot of those scenarios like to like a black issue and sometimes put it in the modern context and sometimes even put it in a historical American context, it would apply. So like stop. You know, like you can't do that. And so anyway, but like it is interesting, probably the more broader point that we need to hit is like how swiftly Dave Chappelle found common, like literally think about it. So he's standing on a stage, and in front of him, he has mostly working class to upper working class people, definitely some upper middle class people with like probably front row tickets to Dave Chappelle, you know, unless they got lucky, but like mostly common man people. And then next to him, he has Elon Musk, the billionaire. The crowd boos, and Dave's allegiance swiftly goes to the billionaire. Is that not intriguing? You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
no, it's very intriguing.
And kind of telling.
And it's no, I was gonna say and say it's a I was hesitant. I wouldn't I was last episode or last few episodes we were talking about Deion Sanders, and I didn't want to call him a sellout because I don't think he was selling out. Dave Chappelle's a sellout.
Yeah, big time. But his legacy is, in many ways, just continuing to. He's digging a hole of his legacy,
He's a
unfortunately.
different kind of sellout, I think, because like a lot of time people would think that he's, like people were calling Dion a sellout to black people. I think Dave Chappelle's a sellout to money.
Yeah,
Would
yeah,
you know what I'm
yeah. Which
saying?
is interesting because remember the reason he disappeared for a while was he didn't want to take dark money to continue to do certain aspects of his career, you know, or whatever.
And he's not the only one who's a sellout to money. We were talking, I guess, specifically about black capitalism. Sorry, LeBron, Jay-Z. Sorry, Boche. We were,
And for clarity, I don't think LeBron and Jay-Z are anywhere near,
No, I agree.
the moral reprehensibleness of Dave Chappelle recently, but like the basically the idea behind critiquing this concept of black capitalists is this idea of, you really can't be anti-racist without dealing with economics, because every manifestation of racism throughout American history has had a level of economics involved. Slavery, like the abuse of labor, the curation of consumer products at, manipulated and what's the word I'm looking for? What's the I'm looking for a word for raking people over the coals financially, and it is just not coming to me right now. But yeah, just basically the abuse of labor. Then you move to segregation, and you literally have second class citizenry with all of the economic implications there of like worse schools, dilapidated communities, underemployment, unemployment, like of course mass incarceration and the manipulation of labor again there, where you can now get free labor again from incarcerated felons. And of course, like you also restrict a lot of civil rights, of course, for when they get out of incarceration, especially for, unfortunately, for nonviolent crimes. But like also they have massive financial limitations being a felon, and so for me it's just like, how do you adequately critique racism when so much of what white supremacy is a comprehensive set of economic policies that creates an underclass?
Right. And that's why our boy Fred Hampton was so famous for saying that he didn't want to fight was it what did he say, capitalism? Or did he say
With
racism?
capitalism,
Yeah, he didn't want to
I didn't
fight
want to fight.
white
Yeah, I guess
capitalism with
it's
black capitalism. He wanted to fight capitalism with socialism.
exactly. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's you, I think you literally like cut off so much of your ability to speak against racial inequality by by siphoning off your critique of capitalism. Like you literally cannot have a robust critique of racism without talking about the class aspects that come into it. It's literally why Martin Luther King talked about anti-capitalism so much towards the end of his career. And even in many ways, what a lot of people don't realize is a lot of his integration movement wasn't that he wanted black people to be in close proximity to white people. It's because he wanted black people to be in closer proximity to resources. And the way to accomplish that was integration. During that time period, of course, he wanted for sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners to eat at the table of, brotherhood, but that wasn't exclusively the goal, right? And so I think it's important to kind of dive into, critique, analyze this kind of. This new, like, kind of, and it's not new, but this trend of like people who are like decently robust advocates against racism, but like grip so tightly to this idea of capitalism, where they do a couple things with it. They make it a solution to it, dealing with inequality. Like, come on, let's get our bread up. You know, let's be have more entrepreneurs in the hood.
Yeah, there's like a fetishization of like making it out of the hood into
Through
through
capitalism.
capitalism,
Yeah,
right?
whether it's through rap,
Yeah, and
basketball,
ultimately to
sports.
give back when that hasn't really been a solution to the
Yeah.
macro issues of poverty in black communities.
Yeah, you can't comprehensively deal with social issues through charity. It just won't work. It's why we keep seeing African Americans who come out of their situations mo through monetary advances and still don't have what it takes to change their community to a point where sometimes they actually end up getting slain in their community. I think those are parables. I think it's a parable that you look at a young Dolph who was radically charitable in his community, a Nipsey Hussle, and where did they end up dying? And that's not me saying, you know, of course we've talked about like the complications of crime and impoverished communities and things of that nature, but the point I'm making is they couldn't effectively change their communities even with all their wealth because they couldn't effectively change their communities even with all their wealth. You need comprehensive social programs to deal with inequality. So the idea that like I'm going to go amass a bunch of wealth and then go help my hood is ahistorical. It's never it's a myth. Have we talked about LeBron's school since LeBron made the school? I'm sure it's doing fine,
Yeah.
but
But
does that deal with
yeah,
the
like
problem of the education gap in America?
right. Or
No.
the fact, I think, is it 50% of Cleveland youth is in poverty, I think.
Still,
Yeah. And
the
so I mean
school's
it's like
there.
it's
Now, will
like
it have longer term effects? I'm sure.
maybe, yeah.
But
And it's a
like,
good like it's good. I'm happy
yeah.
he's doing it, but like that again, capitalism, fighting capitalism with charity or with capitalism is not
It
like
doesn't
it just
work.
doesn't, it's not
It
working.
doesn't work. And so yeah, when you think about the divided loyalties of, you know, a black man who is, you know, fairly anti-racist, but like kind of feels, you know, still kind of gripped to capitalism. Like what are some of the main critiques that come to mind? Even if you want to elaborate on something I've already said, because I'm going to get to more, but just curious your kind of immediate critiques of that and ultimately like maybe like challenges, prescriptions to our beloved brother in Christ, Jay-Z, you know, and so many others.
I just think of like, I think when you have people who, I think of like some of the biggest historical figures who have done the most, they've been the biggest voices of progress in black history, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, you know, Fred Hampton, whoever it is, and how they all pretty much kind of agreed like you can't be a revolutionary without or with
That's
and be
good.
rich, or even Jesus saying kind of the same thing, like you can't
Inherit the kingdom
inherit the
and
kingdom of God. It's easier to I what did he say, make
go
it.
through the a camel to go through the eye of a needle than to
Right, yeah. You know, so I think of that off the top of my head of like, you know, the way of making social change through accumulating a lot of money, just like most good revolutionaries have not have actually said quite the opposite. So that's one of my critiques. I think one of my critiques also would be I don't know. I guess yeah, it's just kind of the same thing of like I just don't, it just hasn't worked. I think there are more effective ways of, you know, having safety nets. Also, I think that when you have a country as segregated as we kind of do still, and I say segregated in the sense of like, I know at least here in Dallas, you have black communities, you have white communities, you still have black schools, white schools. You can say support black-owned business, all you want, but when you're, you know, when the black communities are collectively fairly, you know, I guess you honestly could say poor, the economy there, like you're just not going to.
You can't stimulate the economy that much through buying, you know, Mr. Jones burgers.
Right.
You just can't. And it's great to bring that wealth there, yeah, let that wealth circulate there, but you just can't stimulate it enough.
Yeah, when there's more resources over here and there's not many resources over there, then over there is, like, just no matter how much you, say, support over there, it's just not going to happen because... Yeah. They just don't have, like, there's just not enough resources.
Yeah, and over here in the black community, you're infusing money into their, you know, economy through Mr. Jones Burgers. Mm-hmm. Over here, there's, like, massive stock exchanges and, like, high-level banks and you know, like, multi-billion dollar organizations. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, come on, like, you know,
right, and so it's that's something that no matter how much you emphasize capitalism, that's just not, there's just not enough, there's just way too much of an imbalance in power and wealth for me to honestly feel like black capitalism is going to change anything when black capitalism is already stripped of so much resources as it is right now.
And it's a contradiction in terms, because oftentimes, so you climbed monetarily, sometimes completely, you know, exterior to your community. Like, some wealthy person gave you a great deal, you joined a league, you know, whatever. Sometimes, at least at the beginning, within the context of your community, whether that's through selling drugs, selling music, creating faculty through people that you grew up with, you know, whatever, to promote your entrepreneurial endeavors that turn you into a, you know, superstar icon in whatever field you're in, whether that's through media or through, you know, regular, you know, entrepreneurial, you know, opportunities or whatever. Bro, you had to mess over a lot of people to get there. And a lot of times you probably messed over a lot of people in your own community. But I'm going to get back so that, you know, repairs it all. And it's like, no, it doesn't. Like, you know, like you climbed on the backs to sprinkle some breadcrumbs back, you know, into that space, you know?
Yeah. No, I think, like, you know, LeBron or Jay-Z, instead of, you know, charity is cool, instead of being charitable, why don't you use your voice to speak up for how the people that you're trying to have, you know, charity for are not getting paid very well?
Change the policy.
Yeah.
I would love to see, you know, some of these, like, leaders in minority communities who end up being just egregiously wealthy, like, fight for a policy change. I never see you do it. You know, one of the saving graces that Kyrie has for a lot of people right now is all his charitable work, and I literally could care less.
Yeah, I don't either.
Change a policy, bro. Like, bro, we could donate all the money in the world. It doesn't work, because I don't think what people understand is these are comprehensive issues, which means they need a certain legislation to all the different circumstances that normally come up in these situations. That you can't just throw money at it. You could throw as much money you want at an illegal, I'm sorry, at an undocumented immigrant. And it's like, they're still having to navigate so many things in the legal system that makes it difficult for them to get footing in this space, you know? And so it's like, throwing money at everything doesn't, it's interesting because a lot of times the critique of the left is like, well, you guys just want the government to throw money at a bunch of stuff. No, you literally want to just throw money at stuff with your charitable and, you know, actions. I'm actually asking for a more strategic plan that involves money and resources to bring a social safety net or a social fix to this social issue, you know? And so, yeah, I don't want to just throw money at it. I want a strategic, comprehensive plan to deal with the comprehensive issue that's really complicated. And so, yeah, I mean, I think another thing that's really important here is I think not only, I don't think we really talked about the proselytization of this much yet, but like it is, not only is it like a, I guess we kind of mentioned like, you know, this is encouraged, but it's really proselytized and of like, this is the path out. This is it. This is the way. Like, go get your bread. Go get your money. And I'm like, on an artistic level, I think that's a really fun talking point and idea. And I think hip hop actually talks about that in a much more complicated way than people think. So that's why I'm not spending this time bashing on hip hop, even though it ostensibly sounds very pro-capitalist. But like, but no, you literally have a lot of like big time wealthy African Americans, whether they're billionaires, millionaires, whatever, who like devote their whole YouTube channels, social medias, like platforms to basically like, here's the steps to success. Here's the grind you got to get on. Here's the work you got to do. Bro, you got lucky. I'm not going to run into Will Smith. You got lucky. Like, don't tell me to grind when you ran into Nia Long. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want that grind nonsense. Like, people going to grind their whole life and max out at $75,000 a year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not, like, that's life. Like, 60% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. You know, working class American. You know, and so it's like, bro, like, you, so the proselytization of it, I think, is pretty toxic. You know, honestly.
I just think yeah, no, I think that when you have can you actually define proselytization too? Because I don't.
Oh, I know what you're saying. You're but, good. Yeah. It's basically just proclaiming this as gospel, essentially. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and like. Story of OJ is a classic example of this. The whole messaging behind it, although it has an amazing, the story of OJ by song by Jay-Z, although it has an amazing critique of racism within it, even in its artistic expression in the music video, it's very much a financial literacy is my way to liberation.
Right.
You know, financial literacy, particularly within the constraints of capitalism. And I'm like you mentioned earlier, what brilliant mind gave us that idea throughout African American history that like, hey guys, get your bread up and we win, you know?
Yeah. And the funny thing for me, I think a lot of Black people actually do a really good job of kind of, critiquing the, like structure of, you know, oh, this, you know, like calling it, I guess the United States or our economy or whatever, the white man world, you know, even kind of, maybe not without, maybe not always intentionally, but kind of making the comparison of a boss or CEO to, you know, being an owner or, you know, a master or something like that. You know, and so, I guess it's just, I think one thing that I think, and I don't know that there, you know, a lot of people do this intentionally, but I think that one thing maybe we can do a little bit more is kind of draw the parallels and the comparisons to how we make money now and how, and this is maybe a controversial thing to say, but how slaves get freedom.
I don't think that's controversial at all. Yeah. The word
to
I was,
you and me, yeah, but yeah, the comparison of the power structure of capitalism, the power structure of, you know, the corporate world, and having to grind in order to accumulate wealth, is and having one person who kind of just takes and takes and takes from the top simply because of ownership is pretty similar to the power structure of, you know, the slave, you know, picking and picking and picking, or, you know, working and all of the proceeds going to someone at the top.
Kitty, bang. And the word I was looking for 15 minutes ago was exploitation.
Yes. Oh, it's funny, too, because in my mind, I was like, I don't want to sound like an idiot, but should I jump out with,
that's literally
with exploitation? Yeah. You're like, I don't know what the word is. I'm like, oh, okay.
You would not have looked like an idiot. You would have saved me
from
20 seconds of awkwardness of like, where's that freaking word? Yes. Mm. It's such a salient point of just like, the reality that, like, you are becoming a black slave master.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not at all the same level of exploitation and the same level of, you know, pillaging and, right. and abuse. Not nearly.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the same aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same structure. It was basically, it's just a refined structure of, like, yeah, I exploit you, but now I give you the minimum wage or the minimum of what this salary base is or whatever. And yeah, I extract a lot more work from you and produce a lot more goods from you than I ever compensate you for. But you're paid, you're happy, you got a family,
right.
you, you know what I mean? Like you maintain, you know, you got healthcare, which you have to get through me to get it, you know?
Right.
But yeah, like it has a lot of the same, like, structure and 100%. I also think another thing that's really important, and we didn't spend enough time on this because this was something I definitely wanted to talk about, and we could probably just close out the show with this so that we can give it an adequate amount of time. But when we really are talking about black excellence, let's be honest, what we really mean is how much you succeeded within capitalism.
Okay, yeah, that's...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It seems like the trend.
Yeah, like I black excellence is like, you know, like getting your master's degree or owning your business or, you know, like being a homeowner, having, you know, no college debt or whatever. When it's like black excellence really is living a noble, you know, honorable life of, you know, just being a good father or being a, I don't know, just a loving friend, like anybody, like any, there's no such thing as white excellence.
Yeah. like you're either a good white guy or a bad white guy.
Right.
There's not like this. And I get the pedestal of like black excellence in the sense of like dignifying exceptional people within our community who've overcome exceptional circumstances to be exceptional people. But I just think that that mythology is a little too simplistic because I do think that Jay-Z's movement towards greatness was a little bit more honorable than some other black capitalists, but it doesn't take away from the fact that like it was still incredibly exploitative, you know? And like it, like basically You are, we don't realize this, but we're essentially saying, hey man, the whiter you become, the more excellent you are.
Yeah.
And I know that that may get a lot of pushback, but it's like, look at everyone that we consider black excellence and what is the common trend with them? They're filthy, stinking, stupid rich. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even if it's just their accomplishments that make them rich. And then we have a special category of black excellence for, like, you know, the sociologists, the, you know, the activists, the, you know, the revolutionary politicians, the preachers. And I do think that we do respect those categories. And so I'm not going to act like we just exclusively just praise billionaires. But because of the nature of how we do Black History Month, we do exclusively celebrate fame and call it excellence.
Right.
Or power and call it excellence. And I'm just like...
Or accomplishments.
Right. And, you know, like, it's been a trend throughout Black history. I'm not going to act like this is something that's unique to this time period of Black history. You know, like, the original person that should have been the face of the Montgomery bus boycott and the civil rights movement was a young black woman who was pregnant out of wedlock and refused to give up her seat and was arrested, similar to Rosa Parks. And the reason Rosa Parks was used was because it was a much easier sell to have a married woman, hardworking, like already active in civil rights stuff, and my feet was tired, that whole like it was a very easy like sell as far as like, y'all, America, get behind this. This hardworking black woman in the South couldn't even get a good seat on the bus, you know what I'm saying? And it's like that trend of like, let's pick the ostensibly sexier pick to promote black excellence instead of the reality. Like, the reality of what blackness is, at least a sector of it, is what I work with every day. An impoverished community, making it, fighting to take care of their kids, hoping their kids, can get a solid education and get a healthy foundation for their life, hoping their kids are safe and out of trouble. Parents struggling with addiction, parents struggling with singleness, parents, all these different struggles that they have. Sometimes two-parent households just struggling to make it financially, but like a lot of that is the reality of blackness for a pretty significant portion of what black people are or have to deal with in the American context. And I know that we find ways to praise it. I just don't think we do it enough. And I think the people who get the most shine are the Diddy's and the Jay-Z's and the, and everything. And I would talk about Drake, but y'all don't seem to think Drake is black, so I can't even like critique my boy right now. But like, because I do still have critiques of capitalism, even though I love Drake, and he's kind
That's
of a
an
king of it,
interesting,
but.
sorry, this is off topic. I always felt like I never like I feel like Drake is obviously black. I never felt like there was any question of that,
Bro,
But anyway, go
yeah,
ahead, continue with your
it gets sticky. But yeah, I guess that's just a thought of just like we gotta be careful that we're not saying, oh, you have reached the pinnacle of what blackness should be by actually saying you really nailed capitalism,
It's like
like
black excellence is the person who made it out on top of the grind,
yeah.
when really we should all be questioning the grind. Why is there a grind? Why
Yeah.
is there only really why does it seem like there's more of a grind
Yeah.
for in blackness, in black culture, or in black communities than any
And
like most other communities?
if there's a small amount of truth to crabs in a bucket, then you're saying this crab bit the heck out of everybody to get to the top. And I think there's a small amount of truth to that. I don't think it's the reality of the hood or whatever, but like there's a very small grain of truth in that like a lot of people got to mess over each other for survival and to get a leg up or whatever. But like, then you're saying the person that made it to the top really just messed over a lot of people to get there. And it's like, is that really black excellence? And so I just, we really minimize it to wealth. And I'm like, you're kind of minimizing it to like, they kind of navigated white supremacy to the point where now Elon Musk thinks he's their buddy,
It's just like we kind of kissed enough ass to where we're kind of in now, But I think one other way to to call the, I guess, making it out of the grind, or one word to use for the grind is is exploitation. So,
That elusive word.
instead of saying, oh, he made it out on top of the grind, or he grinded his way up, he just made it out of exploitation.
Or he exploited a lot of people.
Or yeah, you exploited it, So it's I just think that, at that point, I think the logical conclusion is, rather than how do we continue to just make it out of exploitation, how do we make exploitation illegal? I think that's the
Bang.
biggest question, is
Bang.
why don't we just make it illegal to exploit? Why don't we say, hey, minimum wage, like Kanye said back in 2004 or whenever he 2005, can I at least get a raise on the minimum wage? Why can't we make a higher minimum wage is the standard instead of the grind. Why can't we make healthcare, you know, for everybody the grind instead of the grind for healthcare the standard? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's good.
So yeah, that's it. I'm not. Yeah, I guess in all for black capitalism. If the grind or if, you know, having to be a capitalist to get on top is the only path when it could be so much simpler, then I don't want it.
Yeah. I mean, let's stop glamorizing what it takes to get out and let's start glamorizing what it takes to get everybody free. Mm. How silly would it be? You know, Harriet Tubman would be like, hey, that needs to become a relic of the past that you have to, like, navigate crazy woods and waters and slave patrols to get freedom. Like, how about we abolish slavery? And now that's way more noble than becoming a, you know, primetime capitalist. But my point is, like, your point is, let's fix the problem, not just highlight and celebrate how people got away from the problem. Because sometimes how people got away from the problem is pretty problematic. There's a lot of ways to get out of slavery. Mm-hmm. You can snitch. You can be a, you know, Uncle Tom preacher, where you basically just preach whatever the slave master tells you to the rest of the slaves. Mm-hmm. You can become the house Negro. You can amass enough privilege and wealth amongst, you know, white overlords that you own a few slaves yourself, you know, and you become
one of the good
ones. Yeah, uh-huh. You can become a slave patrol. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to get out of slavery. There's really noble ways to get out of it, and there's also noble ways to, especially now that we can vote and have more democratic agency than we've had in the entirety of our time here in America, we can do other things besides just amass a lot of wealth. Actually, that's probably one of the worst things that we can do to actually deal with the problem.
I think kind of to your Harriet Tubman analogy, I think Frederick Douglass wasn't excellent because he escaped slavery. He was excellent for a lot of reasons, but one of the biggest pieces of excellence was that he fought for the freedom of other slaves.
There you go.
He fought for the, you know, the illegality of slavery.
Yeah.
Because he escaped it.
And shout out to, like, there are some legislative things a lot of black capitalists have fought for, so I want to be clear. Just not enough. Just not enough. And you have too much power. And look, white billionaires, they get what they want in society. And I understand that black billionaires have a tougher time doing that, but I'd at least like to see more of an effort. And probably cozying up to and making an apologetic for a guy who's getting booed because of his lack of empathy for the underclass. It's probably not what we need. So Dave Chappelle, I don't know, just kind of sad. But to keep it a buck, like, Cat Williams and Chris Rock were always funnier than Dave Chappelle. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah. Actually, I feel like this would be kind of a fun way. Do you have, like, a top five...
comedians?
Black comedians, yeah.
Yeah. Richard Pryor, Cat Williams, Chris Rock. Who was at the same time saying a lot of the anti-racism stuff as Dave Chappelle. And honestly, it was much more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there. He had a couple moments where he had the weird, like, N-words versus black people thing. But, like, besides that, like, pretty on point with a lot of his social critique. I mean, Dave definitely makes my top five. And then there's a couple more underground ones, but I'll spare everyone and do more of a pop list, you know. And I'll go ahead and put Kevin Hart. I mean, Kevin Hart
is actually
he had my favorite, probably my favorite stand up. Like, seriously, funny is like my favorite of all time, like hands down. But
No, I agree. I agree with
but yeah, that's probably my top five. So Dave, you made it in my top five, but you're still solid,
that. You're just falling a little bit
Yeah, and I
there.
could have put about three other people in front of you that are underground, but I spared you and just made a pop list. So, but yeah, that's probably mine. If you got one, yeah.
I don't know if I have one, but I have like maybe I have my
Oh
favorites.
my gosh, get Dave Chappelle out of there, Bernie Mac.
I was gonna say Bernie is one of my favorite. He's probably him and Chris Tucker are probably my two favorites. This isn't just stand up though. It's some acting too. Cat Williams, Kevin Hart had my favorite stand up as well. And that fifth. Dave Chappelle. So we start with like booing Dave Chappelle, and now we're finishing with praising it. No,
You gotta give him, you gotta give him his coin for what he's done, but it'd really be nice if he shut up. another hopefully fun episode. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Please feel free to ask us any questions or start any dialogue with us, either through email or social media. Please email us at themoralminorityshow@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter for however much longer we have it, or Instagram. And don't hit us up on Facebook. I don't want to,
Yeah, we won't respond.
I'm not going to talk to you on
Yeah,
Facebook.
I don't even know if we have a Facebook.
I got it, and it's just
For
to
my.
keep up with some family.
Oh, are you talking about for our
Oh
personal
no,
or.
oh no, we do. I just, it's not like a, I really don't fool with it much, but
Okay.
yeah, but we do have Instagram and Twitter, and definitely we're gonna be infinitely more responsive on that than Facebook. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us, and catch us next time.